County was going to buy the property. I felt that that was the best investment for the area because...
I'm sorry to interrupt. We had a glitch in our recording software, so I just want to say for the podcast audience that the voice you're hearing is Manatee County Commissioner Robin DiSabatino, District 4. And whatever came before, all the best parts coming now. Go ahead, Robin.
Okay. So I thought that that would be the least intensive use of the property and to move us forward for economic development in the area.
Which corner of the north?
It's the northwest corner.
The northwest corner. So it's where the bakery is? Oh, no, that's on the other side. The bakery's on the south. Southwest.
The bakery is on 63rd. This is Tallahassee.
Yeah, well, okay. It's at 63rd.
They're close.
They're close to one another.
Just go south.
Yeah, yes.
One more block.
Intersection south. I know there's a controversy about the land at the corner of Tallahassee and Old 301 over the that land that's been saturated with whatever.
Right.
And nobody wants that land, at least for now.
Well, there is an owner of the property right there at the corner, and that would be the southeast corner, which I always call the Hugas, the old Hugas property. And Mr. Barnaby, an attorney in town, represents the owner, and the county has been in negotiations through the Building and Development Services Department to try to come to a meeting of the minds to take that property down. It's an eyesore. There's trees and debris growing through.
And partial buildings still standing.
Yes, and it's a real community eyesore and a hazard.
There's the biohazard on that land, isn't that right?
There probably is. Next door is the new reclamation plant, and it's probably a 25 to 50 year project to clean up the water.
You're getting a little too geographic for the people in St.
Well, we're getting a little
Sarasota
County.
Okay.
But it's on the margins of Sarasota County as well, and there was some mutual interest in that, and it's east of the airport in that vicinity.
But if I could segue into that area between Sarasota and Manatee County, that's so important. We have the airport there, which is the anchor.
For people that are listening in Pinellas and listening in Sarasota, could you sort of lay out where your district is in Manatee County? Because it is important to the people in Sarasota.
Right. And my district is really the key. I'm right at the boundary line between Sarasota and Manatee County. So I go from the county line, and the north boundary of my district is Cortez.
Well, that's a big district.
The western is 34th Street West, and the east is Lockwood Ridge. So it's very economically diverse. It's the home of multi-major businesses, and it's just booming right now.
So some of the key physical entities that would be in that district, so other people can have a sense. Okay. That would include the State College of Florida, the Sarasota-Bradenton Airport,
USF, their old MTI. We have Ross Camp Institute, of course, the airport. Right across from the airport is Sun Hydraulics, which is huge. And you have, as you said, Flowers Bakery. There's so many different diverse all within my district.
Mm-hmm.
And I do visit them when I have free time. I make appointments to go visit them. I've stopped during the campaign several times over at Chris Craft, and the building industry is live and well, and they were hiring about 150 people in the last year.
Well, today they announced the unemployment rate, and the unemployment numbers were at 320. Which is larger than it's been.
The jobs created
job
were 320,000, and unemployment rate down to 5.8.
I'm sorry.
It's
actually down below 5.6 nationally. So now there's job creation going on. Now people are going to have the freedom to move from job to job. And Manatee County has a great reputation of creating jobs, and the opposite is true in Sarasota County. This dilemma that they suffer from goes back to the time when Manatee County took the water and sewer system that the federal government offered and all the attendant other infrastructure and made it part of what you have. So you're advantaged, especially in these times, and you actually are a welcome mat for workers that isn't true in Sarasota County. And, you know, this is really one region that is represented by a congressman, but nobody really sees that. The other question I have, this is an overall statement, but the other question I have is, you just had three murders that just happened. A man with six children killed his wife and another woman.
Allegedly.
Well, he's a charge. That's the charge. In Sarasota County, early this year, a police officer went up into the Newtown area and shot a black young man to death through his windshield, and made the charge that he was being attacked by the man's car. I thought the car had paws and claws and teeth and everything, but they said he didn't. It didn't. Nonetheless, the same kind of answer to that kind of problem. Do you foresee any similar problem here? I mean, Garner up in New York was strangled to death or choked to death or whatever, and the indictment didn't come down. What happened? What would you do as a commissioner if something like that were to occur?
And let's just also let the audience know that this is of a special concern to you and your district, because besides all the productive and growing things that are in your district, you have, I believe, the highest crime area in your district.
Well, we did have the highest crime in we call it West 20 and West 30, right around the bay, right across from Bayshore, the Pride Park area. And we have worked diligently with the South County CRA to spend extra money for extra policing. And so over the last 4 or 5 years, crime is down significantly in that area because we've been pumping up the police presence. So the sheriff and his deputies have been doing a wonderful job. Whenever there's an event or an issue, I pick up the phone, I send them an email, and they are on the spot.
That goes to intimidating the lawbreakers, if there are lawbreakers.
Absolutely.
Have you looked, the city police of Sarasota are notoriously badly trained. And I know people on the inside there, they basically say, if you can fit the uniform, you got the job. Mm-hmm. And the incidents that have happened in Sarasota repeatedly with the police, and I've witnessed some of these situations, is awful. And I would suggest that to maybe preempt what could happen, because incidents have a way of getting pell-mell out of control. Mm-hmm. Have you looked at the training in terms of community relations? Is the black community in on that, and is there going to be that, and Hispanic community as well, all the minorities? Is there a bias that comes forward in the way these people are treated?
And what kind of outreach does the Sheriff's Department do in your district?
Oh, he is hands-on in my district. I think the officers and all his staff are doing such a phenomenal job. And with this new Southwest County TIF, and we can talk about that, that will enable more money to be spent in police patrols that were just outside of the CRA, so including the Bayshore area and other areas. So to kind of wrap up on your questions.
And his training issue, too.
Right. There was just a seminar up at the Palmetto Youth Center that was very well attended by the chiefs of police, the sheriff, the state's attorney's office, and they are starting the discussion to try to work with this. A lot of the problems are the fees to go through the training. Some people can't afford the fees. So we're working on programs to get funding for minorities to go through the training program so we have more minorities on the force.
And what is the ratio here of minorities that it would be?
He is well above his limit. He discussed that at the event, and he said what his ratios are supposed to be, and they were all well above that. But of course, we need to increase that. Increase the ratio.
We're speaking with Manatee County Commissioner Robin DiSabatino, District 4. And by the way, just face re-election, and in a metric more important than, say, which girls invite you to their lunch table in the high school cafeteria, she won by a 2-1 margin, which I think is a landslide by pretty much any standard. And we've talked about the law enforcement in your area now, and we sort of got away from the development. What have you been able to enable for the economic development of that area, that gateway area into Sarasota and out of Sarasota?
Well, that's a great question, because we are working very diligently with the CEDC, Neighborhood Services, all the partnerships, Career Edge, and we just had a presentation the other day, and not only are there more less vacancies in the job world, but people are being able to move up on the ladder, which is huge. As you said, we need to go back to the ways where you can navigate your way through the system to get more money to move on. There's so many different companies that I could just name a few in the whole county.
What are the incentives that are bringing those companies? What is the policy that is causing this to happen?
There's private-public partnerships that we're developing. It's not always incumbent upon the county to give any economic incentives. There are a lot of economic incentives, and we do have a program through Sherry Corrier and Neighborhood Services, and anyone coming in can see it online. They can make appointments, and then they get taken through the whole process of even looking for property to where the best location would be. But just It Works Global, Radiant Power, Feld Entertainment is huge. We just have so many different companies. Air Products, they just hired about 200 employees. And what was unique about that is we saw a need for a specific job skill. So we worked with the school board, with MTI, through these partnerships and got these people trained. They went through the program. They're making huge wages, and then they're getting nice
wages, like
60, 70, 80,000. Mm-hmm. So for a skill. So this is what we're seeing today. We have a workforce. Maybe they were trained in something else. We need to go back to school, and we're working with a lot of these companies to get them trained.
So you're integrating training and the migration in the workplace,
right,
and education, all is one.
And on the job training, right, apprenticeships, all these things. And I was just at a program that was put on by Peter Straw and the SAMI organization, and they had a lot of the schools go to some of these big companies to show the students what's available in the area, and that's huge. They went down to Northport to the PGT, the industry, and so there's so many different companies.
Let's say I'm a visiting businessman, mm-hmm, and in particular I'm looking at your district. And I drive through the areas from 34th Street there over near the IMG Academy. And then I go through Bayshore Gardens, and I'm seeing neighborhoods in decline, although there's some very nice houses there. Mm-hmm. I go up and down 41, and I see the street hostesses and the sidewalk entrepreneurs there doing whatever it is they do. Mm-hmm. I go a little bit west into what we used to call Duplex City. Tell me why I need to come bring my business into your district.
For economic development and for that, to improve the area.
What's in it for me as the businessman?
Well, you will get economic incentives. We also have tax credits. The people voted in tax credits. So if you qualify and you fit in, you're going to employ a certain amount of people at a certain wage, then you would qualify to give back to the area.
One of the things about your district is it's an older community. Mm-hmm. Generally, they're the earlier part of developments after post-World War II in Manatee, mm-hmm, County, Bradenton area. In contrast to east of the interstate with the new developments and things like that. So the sewers have already been laid. The roads are built. How do you, or maybe there is no difference, what's your distinction between your position on impact fees on the new development in the county and maybe some of the sitting commissioners that represent that area?
Well, the great thing about the commission last year is they all came together and decided that the urban core was the key to economic development and expansion and growth for the entire county. Because 10, 12, 15 years ago when we were focusing out east, and Lakewood Ranch is beautiful, no doubt about it, so we're focusing out east. The beaches always get attention. The spine, the urban core, got left in the dust.
On this point,
so we are working on that.
On this very point, it would seem to me businesses, and this has been expressed through major corporations, we want to be able to bring people in that we don't have to completely re-educate. So we have an education system that's over here at Manatee College, which is State College of Florida. And you have the urban core represented in some ways by 41 itself, as Henry mentioned. And one of the programs that's been brought about to change, and this involves your sheriff, your police, and so forth, the nature of the people that do the patrolling up and down to sell themselves, is looking at sex trafficking as a crime, and the people that have been sucked into it as people in need of education. And instead of arresting them, they put them into an education program to get them rehab, and therefore then that problem changes, and it's replaced all the time, of course, but then you have a system of cleanup of a kind that really socially matters to people. And you take the throat, if you will, of 41 right into the middle of the urban core, which is the downtown of Manatee, Bradenton, excuse me, and you have a further reason, if you will, a logical visual reason for people to want to see that happen. Because mm-hmm. your motivation is to help people first, that will help the county and the district, you know, as well. So how do you look at that? I'm just offering a thought.
Well, again, if I could elaborate, we are focusing on this urban core, and we have deemed the Southwest County TIF has merged from this. So up to 50% of the taxes that are brought in this area can be set aside and designated for economic opportunities. I just saw in the paper the other day that there's a gentleman in Sarasota County that is buying up these old motels of questionable occupants and converting them to apartments. That's what we need, because a lot of these ladies and gentlemen who have records, and I'm very involved with that right now, they cannot get housing. If they have a record, it's very difficult to get housing. And so what happens? They become homeless, mm-hmm. and the whole history repeats itself. This is where we're trying to break the chain. I've targeted there's a few motels right there on South County near Braden Avenue that an investor needs to come in and purchase them. If it's this investor or another, needs to come in, refurbish these into apartments and studios, and offer it up to people who can't get housing elsewhere in a single-family home. They need to start somewhere, and we need to get them off the street. I'm very involved with the Suncoast Partnership on Homelessness. That's a huge issue right now. And again, we need to address this. I'm also very involved with, I don't know if you know, the Bradenton Bridge. It is a transition center on 63rd, just west of 301, where the ladies have 2 years or less on their sentence, mostly nonviolent crimes, drugs, sex crimes, that sort of thing. And probably not their first rodeo, but they are coming out of prison, and they are rehabilitated. And I urge anyone to set an appointment to go see that facility. They get jobs, they get employment, but their biggest obstacle is housing for them and their children.
That's a great outcome for these people. There is another avenue that I think, and we've talked to someone from Minnesota, Minneapolis, who was involved in sex trafficking that they're aware of, and I had proposed to them a John's Law. We arrest people who twice go online for underage children to look at, and they go to jail for 6 months for if that's a second offense, if it's determined by the police. But there, you can have statutory rape for the neighbor girl, but when you know that the average 11 to 15 year age for the initial introduction into prostitution through prostitution rings are children, basically. So when they buy, when you contract to buy their bodies for your use, it would seem to me that it's at least on a par with going online to look at pornography of children. And that, to me, would be an avenue that might intimidate the business a bit and change the reason for being in that business. I just think that that's something that's not being looked at by communities. And I think at least a regional, countywide, if not more, John's Law might go into the idea, I don't want my picture on the newspaper.
I see the stings in the paper periodically. I think we do prosecute mm-hmm. and put their names in the paper.
Well, but you're doing it for prostitution, and they often arrest the victim, the prostitute, if you will, as well.
Well, they need to identify their John, as you call it, and it's hard to do. And it,
well, that's because currently they require the person who's been victimized, the individual prostitute, to testify.
Exactly.
Well, no, but I'm saying we have stings where we arrest the Johns on the
right.
street. We have the undercover police
no,
officers.
No, I understand that. And I've met with this in Sarasota. I met with the police chief there some time ago, and they do a sting, and they arrest both parties. But that's the problem. I believe the sex trafficking is a non-arrest situation because they're the victim. Mm-hmm. The arrest should go to the contract on the money between the John and the pimp. And if that becomes the nature of the use of the person, someone's acting as an agent, if you will, to facilitate that, now you have a different use of the John's law.
Right. And I've been very active with supporting the SELA Foundation, and that's for human trafficking to capture these mostly ladies who have been in the situation and show them a new life.
You've got a great place for them to escape to in SELA and other things.
Yes. So,
we have a new show that's coming up at the top of the hour, and we need to get into some other topics because we're going to have to sign off a little bit early today. We have open phone lines at 941-745-1490. If you'd like to speak with Manatee County Commissioner Robin D. Sabatino, who graciously is here today to both answer our questions and your questions. Robin, one of the things that you were getting a lot of credit for, and Augie and I didn't know the passion behind this particular issue until it sort of found us, was both the animal services situation here in Manatee County with the department itself, and then the policy of no kill. Can you give us a little primer on what that is all about here and when your involvement in it?
Well, as you can tell, I'm from the business world, and I try to have...
By the way, let me just be the eyes of the audience here, because I don't think we've had a candidate or a sitting officer, public official, come in and do this before. I'm looking at this huge three-ring binder right here.
America's got orange markers, and they're flexible markers on each and every page that she wants to turn to.
The highlights,
all coded,
double-spaced, plastic. I mean,
this is called coming in prepared.
This is my big Bible. Here's the Bible, the New World transcript of the Holy Scriptures, and this is my Bible.
Old school iPad, I think, is what that is.
Well, you can't rely on this screen all the time.
I know, and you can't rely always on your computer because a lot of times I'll put appointments on there, and then mysteriously they disappear. So I don't know how that happens. So I like to do this.
One thing I want to divert to, what about you? I mean, you're married, you have children?
I do.
How many children?
I have one daughter who's 32. She was just married in September.
Mm-hmm.
And
talk about child bride.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, you never have guessed.
And
do you have grandchildren yet? Or?
Well, I had them on September 21st when she got married to a gentleman who had 11-year-old twin boys.
So now you have grandchildren.
So I have two grandsons. And they're adorable. They are totally identical, except one, Charlie, has a little freckle. Otherwise, they are identical.
So
they
grab them
the
and say, Charlie, which one's...
And they're so used to, like, which one are you? You can tell by their personality, but just standing there, it's hard.
A visible tattoo on the neck will solve all
they
that.
They won't. They wear the same clothes. And usually when you figure them out, when one wears green and one wears blue, then they switch it on you. So you can't...
I mean, they play the game of twins.
Oh, yeah. They're good at that. But the parents know. The grandparents know. So
back to the animal services.
Yeah, animal service. Yeah, we're trying to
I think
skirt that issue.
The one thing that was... I mean, there was a very intense interest in not killing, the no-kill situation,
right,
if you will. And I said to... I forget who it was. So do you believe in pro-life for animals?
And absolutely. This county is very pro-life for animals. And
so that means if they're pregnant female dogs, you make sure that nothing bad happens.
Absolutely. And don't go there. Don't harm a hair on a dog in this county. Children are another issue, but that's another topic. But animal services, again, I'm from the business world. I was self-employed for 20-some years, and... The animal issue reared its ugly head this back in the summer, and so I got involved with that and done some investigation. Now, the county hired some experts.
Experts?
Experts to do a study. And
at what cost?
about $53,000.
Okay.
Which the county administrator unilaterally signed the contract. We didn't even vote
without
on it.
Without going to the commissioners.
The commissioners discussed it. I said I would like it to come up for a vote, and he said he had the power to just unilaterally sign the contract. So we never voted on it. There was another...
Can you have advisory votes even if you don't have the actual power to stop it?
We can voice our opinion, but you're only one of seven. And there's a big five voting block over there that sides with the county administrator. That's a whole 2 hours.
Well, it might
show.
Be a statement, though, to see who wanted to vote against that. Well, I know, but you got to read the newspaper then. And
right.
You can't.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to read.
The newspaper has to cover it.
So, you know, I received an email last night that we're going to see the results of the study on December 16th at the meeting, but this was from a private citizen. I didn't hear from the county administration that this is on the agenda. We won't get that until the week before.
I think we know, but could you tell the audience who the county administrator is?
Mr. Ed Hunziker.
And how long has he been in that position?
I think about 7 years now, 8 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tell us what you think some of his accomplishments are.
Well, he did take us through the economic downturn. He was very good in handling the finances. I got my little handy-dandy cheat sheet. And he indicated that when Ernie Padgett left, who was the administrator before him, when Ernie left, he took all the money with him. And then he was just teasing that downturn in the economy. So they had to downsize the government and so on. So he had a tough road to hoe with that.
Okay. Now that we let her give him props, now she can say whatever she wants.
There you
about
go.
It. Here we go with Ken on the line. Go
morning,
ahead, Ken.
There we go.
Robin.
Go ahead.
Morning, Ken.
Good morning. Hey, guys. Good morning, Robin.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Say, I heard you talk about economic development in the county and the economic gateway to the county. You mentioned Chris Craft and Sun Hydraulics. We have some activity going on at the abandoned Wellcraft plant. We have a new business park going in behind the airport. But I'm wondering, what's happening to our highway tax dollars, our road tax dollars that we're paying? Are those coming back to the county? And I would say that 15th Street, that goes right through the middle of this, of your district and this economic corridor, is in terrible shape. It's a string of washboard road and broken pavement.
And I'm glad you brought that up because I did bring that up a few years back, that in addition to 14th Street East. And we are pleased to be the recipient of FDOT money, and they are revitalizing all of 15th Street from the county line all the way to the mall. And so it will be a complete streets program where there'll be three lanes. The center lane will be the turn lane. There'll be sidewalks, street lights, and landscaping. Mm. So we, you know, the squeaky wheel has gotten the grease, and it was going to end at State Road 70. And if you travel on 15th Street, which I'm sure you do, from 70 to the mall is the worst section. So that was added through the MPO to the FDOT project to continue all the way up to the mall. So,
estimated.
Well, let me disagree with you. I think if you drive the section between say 53rd and well, actually the airport area,
mm-hmm.
that particular section of road is just unbelievably bad. And you're talking about a project with DOT that's going to be years in the making. This road hasn't been maintained or repaired in years. It's falling apart. And I don't, for any business that comes into Manatee County looking for a place to relocate like in that empty Wellcraft plant, and they see the condition of the road there, we can't wait for that. And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Thanks.
Okay. Yes, and those are great questions, because yesterday, if you watch yesterday's commission meeting, if you go to mymanatee.org and on the left side, you'll see METV, and you'll click on that, and you'll see all our meetings. we discussed the plan, and there are dollars that are set up to address this, and we are trying to fast forward the money for this. And you know, and I know, government doesn't work quickly, but we are managing to speed this up. That section that you mentioned from the airport to State Road 70, again, is a mishmash of businesses and signage and no bicycle paths, and people are walking or biking kind of in the ditches. So, as I said a little earlier, when they were developing Lakewood Ranch and paying attention, of course, to our beautiful beaches, we were left in the dust. So, but the county has recognized that we need to develop this whole area, and I'm excited about that. So we have to look at it as the glass half full.
Maybe we should find out what the time spans are going to be for.
They are in the PD&E study, and they are funding it. It will be done within the next, I think, 5 years.
5 years.
It's a long time. But
I have a question, but I will not ask you.
Yeah, and the open phone lines at 941-745-1490. Did you want to wrap a point up?
Yeah, and if this gentleman also pays attention to go over to 9th Street East, the county did just do that whole project. So we are incorporating it when we can and when we have the dollars. But also, there's a lot of new development in our district, which is really exciting. A lot of the developers are marching west. There's a lot of new programs. So their impact fees will go towards new roads.
Okay.
We have Pat on the line. Go ahead, please.
Morning, Pat.
Hi. Good morning, Robin. I wanted to ask, what does Manatee County offer to a private investor who might take up one of those hotels to make them into apartments? I mean, I know you give tax incentives to big companies, and do you give them, like, couple of years of no taxes or something?
The citizens voted in tax abatement, and it's on a case-by-case basis. So I would urge you to give me a call. My cell phone is 685-5368. That's 685-5368. And I will set up an appointment with you, Karen Stewart, Sherry Corrier, and Neighborhood Services to come up with a plan that for revitalizing our urban core and any other area in the county as well.
And I think that phone is on your, it's now inactive, but it's up there on your campaign site. It's vote, the number 4, RobinD, @.com.
At gmail.com.
That's your email.
That's my private.
What's the website? Because it's posted on
VoteForRobin.com.
Okay, leave the D off.
All right, thank you very much.
Paul, please call me. I look forward to your call.
Well, that's I think does cross people's mind that everybody doesn't have the large dollars to go in and buy a property, but there are a few who have some dollars enough to do a few. So if it's not advertised that that's available to individuals, and that big money corporations just do it wholesale, they end up driving up the rents to everybody around. I own some property down in Sarasota, and I had some new rentals, and I have moderate rents, and I keep tenants. So, but what has happened is people are coming to rent from me who are discovering that one-bedroom units, are, instead of at $500 or $600, are going up to $800 and $900, no matter where. Doesn't matter.
And we just had a study or a report on Tuesday that 81% of the rentals in Manatee County are single-family homes or individually owned. They're not hotels.
Right.
So that's a huge industry. And I know a lot of people who have multiple properties that they rent out. And what we also need, as I was speaking earlier, we need workforce housing. And there's been a couple projects that are coming before us. But a lot of the problems are that the county didn't have any programs in place for economic incentives for workforce housing, affordable housing. So we identified that yesterday. Let's move forward and let's work on that as a community. So we're going to have a workshop in January.
We're going to try and tie up some loose ends here before we have to sign off. Just on the short-term rentals that you were talking about, it was mm-hmm. article just in the last couple of days' paper.
Right.
You know, that Airbnb website that is connecting people on this, and it seems to be a growing aspect. They're supposed to they're supposed to be starting to accommodate local tax sources, too. So that might be something to look into, because they do have quite a presence here. Let's go to the phone lines. We're just going to say hello. Good morning. Could you please say your first name and say hi to Robin?
Good morning. This is Terry. Hello, Robin.
Hi. How are you?
Okay. I was wondering, I know you, there's a lot of, well, supposedly a lot of job creation, especially around the season, the holiday season. A lot of stuff around here seems to be seasonal as far as work. And is there anything that could be done about these big companies that are coming in and they set up businesses here and they only hire people part-time? I mean, they're making it impossible for people to get second jobs. They won't give you set schedules ahead of time. Especially in the retail industry, it's really out of hand. People can't afford to live.
And if I could just add, are some of these incentives contingent on when they say they're going to have it, jobs, are they contingent on full-time jobs or just like total hours employed?
No, full-time at or above the average wage, and the higher
and that is
the wage.
The average wage is
$34,000, but it depends on the industry. So the higher your wage, the more incentives that you get. So I encourage you to give me a call at 941-685-5368, and I will put you in touch with the right sources.
Okay.
Because wherever I go, they're hiring. I stop in, and any store you go to, like right in the front window, hiring full-time, part-time. So I will hook you up.
Wow.
I have a question along with development, and there's rumor or fact, I'm not sure which, that the Cortez Road, if you will, is going to connect with 301. Is that a fact?
That's a fact. And you can drive out there and take a look for yourself. It's in the process. It's very exciting because we need to be connecting from 301 over to 44.
Except for some people about that bridge over the Braden River that...
It's
going to be extended.
I know,
there.
But you know, we do need a lot of east-west, north-south connectivity, and that's a whole other show.
Well, my thoughts on that are, you know, once you heard it was going out there, how did you expect them to get over the Braden River?
Exactly. Well, when the builders were building out east of 75, they were mandated that they had to put in the 44th Avenue. So they're already there. The roads are already over there.
The bridge is a factor.
Not
a problem.
Correct, and we're already going through our permitting stage. Mr. Schulhofer's working on
that. That's the last item to unplug it?
Well, that, and we still have to go over I-75.
Ah, wow.
It's not going to connect to 75, it's going over.
We're down to just a couple minutes because the computer's going to turn us off automatically here.
Okay.
We didn't get into indigent care, which that we really need to know, and we should say, that Robin was one of the commissioners, maybe one of only two, wasn't it, that spoke out against that referendum in the middle of the summer at extra cost to the taxpayers on the half-cent sales tax. Maybe we can have you back to talk about that.
There's some questions I have, and you've been wonderful today to come on and answer some difficult things.
Right. So but what I wanted to say is I'm hired by the people. I work for you. I work for all the people. That's how I see it. I don't see it as I'm your boss. You're my boss.
And well, you're the representative that they are either going to respect and see as effective, or you're the representative they wish they'd never gotten. I mean,
right.
You've been in office now in your second term, or so this is now your second term of 4 years?
Yes, I just got elected. It was an open primary in August, so it was all Republicans, Democrats, all party affiliates. And I think I crossed over all lines, which upset some people.
But the open primary allows for the really popular person to get elected, whereas if you had just a party primary, you might have had a different outcome. Is that
right? You didn't have one of those write-in straw candidates that seemed to get put up.
No, nobody closed it, no. So because, I heard earlier in the year that the Democrats were happy with my voting, and...
It doesn't seem to be the actual Democrats or Republicans that put these candidates up. It has.
Yeah,
it could be the candidate themselves finding someone to put them in.
Yeah, the Supervisor of Elections office in Sarasota would have had an open primary, but Ms. Dent decided to put in a straw candidate to prevent that. 55% of the people of Sarasota County were not allowed to vote in that supervisor's office election.
Oh.
But Two out of three in Robin DiSabatino's District 4 wanted to have her continue to do a job. Two out of three voters, I should say. And Robin DiSabatino, last words, you want to give the phone number out again? Anything else?
People can reach me at any time. My motto is my door is always open and my cell phone is always on. The cell phone number is 941-685-5368. You can email me at the county, Robin, R-O-B-I-N, dot DiSabatino, D-I-S-A-B-A-T-I-N-O, at mymanatee.org. It's an honor and a privilege to serve the residents of Manatee County, and I look forward to four more years of economic growth and activity and working for the people.
There you go. That's a pitch for the next election.
And Augie, have a happy birthday today as you go about your business. Presents can be dropped off at WWPR. Anything you're looking for in particular?
How to avoid the conversation.
Contributions to the radio show.
There you go. Support the radio show. That would be the best thing you could do.
Absolutely.
If you believe that it's worth it.
And happy holidays to everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.